Hey, everybody, welcome back to a special edition of From the Field. I'm Will Haverkamp.
And I'm Joe Jurisic.
And today's guest, we'll welcome him back with us again, is Nicholas Stadden from Verde Growers. Welcome, Nicholas. We're happy to see your shining face today.
Really cool to have me back again. Thank you, Will, and thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. It looks like you're in a very sunny, fantastic, beautiful location. I think you are, as you had mentioned, in Fullbrook, California. How about you tell us a little bit about the location for Verde that you're at right now? And I know we talked about it earlier. There's some beautiful mountains in the background.
There are. So let's start it off. We're in Fullbrook. And Fullbrook is probably about 2.5 hours north of San Diego. So we're North San Diego County. It is a unique growing environment. So let's take a look at it. Where the nursery is located, what you're seeing there is the eastern side of the coastal ranges. So if you went about 50 miles, you would come to the Pacific Ocean. The nursery, which is about 600 acres in size, is nestled on the east side of the coastal ranges. So today, it's probably going to crank up and be about probably like 90 degrees. It'll be 90 degrees till maybe 5, 6, upper 6 this evening. And then what happens, we have this extraordinary climatic change and the coastal fogs roll in. They literally roll in. You can stand and see them moving, and they'll roll in across these mountains I showed you, and they will come right the way across the nursery where I'm sitting. And they'll go back to 3 or 4 or maybe 5 miles inland. So what happens then? The plants, which have been sitting in the full sun all day, right? They've been getting really warm. The containers are warm. Suddenly they get this wonderful cooling effect. And that is why this location is so, so valuable. Really? So many of the nurseries in California, you know, they warm up during the day. Up in the Central Valley, right? They can, in the summertime, a few months from now, it will be up to 116 degrees during the daytime.
It's cooking.
And at nighttime, it might dip down to 100. And by 8 or 9 o'clock the following morning, it's back over 100 again. So the plants are struggling. They really are. But here in Fullbrook, this location, everything grows during the daytime, cools down at night. So it's a really great, great location to grow plants in.
Nick, have you been there for the cold rush with the winds coming in and having the temperature change within minutes? It's probably an exhilarating feeling.
I have. And also, like in the morning, when I've got like a long sleeve shirt on now. But in the morning when I came down, got down here like about 8:30, the fogs were still over the nursery. Everyone's got their jackets on. They've got their navy watch caps on. It's chilly. It's cold, right? And everything is covered with moisture from the fogs. But when it rolls off, you can literally, as the sun comes up, the fogs literally roll back before it. It's amazing. Yeah, so it's pretty unique.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you guys have some amazing locations that you guys grow in. That's obviously a shining star for sure.
It is. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, cool. Well, it's great to join you virtually today. So I think a couple of things that we were wanting to cover. We had talked about this previously in other podcasts about, I think it was the first time that we got together, about doing something periodically that we wanted to call Nick's Picks and kind of coin it to where it could be anything relative that's going on in the industry. So we could highlight some, some different plants that maybe that have been superstars or high producers or big, bestsellers, I guess, for you guys. And something that you know, your end customers really enjoyed putting into their landscape, and it's been a good performer that we could spread the word about. And it really could be anything for that matter. But I think today we were going to focus on a few different plants that you have there at the nursery that you might be able to give us a little bit of information about a few of them, give us some highlights about the plant, so on and so forth, and kind of just go from there. So,
yeah.
And then we were going to talk about a couple other things too, just some market trends and things that we're seeing in our industry out of the gate for spring. So,
And I think Nick has a surprise for us too.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, an exclusive almost, right?
Yeah, almost.
Hey, if you're not with Nick and you don't get a surprise, it's not worth being with Nick.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about plants. So yeah, sure. One of the really cool things about the company I work for, Verde Growers, is that they will search the people out who have fun at what they do. So if it was left up to me to run the company, it would be a disaster. But when it comes to the plants, that's where my heart is. So I'm allowed to run pretty free and wide on the plant side. So I've got some really cool selections to show you today, some proven programs, some new plants within those proven programs. So for those of you listening, it's really important that you break out of the mold, right? You know, it might well be that you've got like your 20 or your 30 or 40 different plants that you're using in your landscapes and your designs and that sort of thing. The goal here today, right, is to break you out of that mold. So yes, you can look further afield and you can see at things that are really cool and interesting. So the first one, right, this is from the Endless Summer program. And you always recognize Endless Summer because they're in this snappy blue container.
Staple name in the industry.
Right, see that? Right? Oh,
beautiful blooms. Yep.
It's great. So what is fantastic about this? The name on this plant is called Summer Crush. And Summer Crush is a very strong grower, gets to be about 4.5 to 5 feet high and the same wide, very disease resistant, great green, British racing green foliage. And as you can see, scores of buds and blooms.
Yeah.
What's the real key thing for you listening for the Endless Summer program is that they're repeat bloomers.
Right.
That's to say they're not just going to bloom once. As soon as it warms up, right, start coming out of the ground, they're going to start blooming in about 20 to 25 days, and then they will do that all the way through the season. Wow. Even if you're pruning them, hydrangeas historically, especially the large macrophylla varieties or the lace cap varieties, if you prune them after September, you're cutting off next year's buds. Endless summer, absolutely not. You prune them when you want them. The other great thing is if you're working with residential customers, people love to harvest the blooms, bring them indoors. They can use them for their cutting gardens. Don't let me forget to talk about the cutting garden when we get to the trend section, because this is an absolute moneymaker for you. Your customers will look at you and believe you are a true market leader.
Yeah.
And this was okay. Summer Crush, correct?
Summer Crush, Endless Summer.
Endless Summer, Summer Crush, yeah. So I've got something really fascinating. These are sempervivums. And sempervivums, there's a brand new group called Super Semps, right? Super Semps. This is Super Semp Onyx. They are hardy to USDA Zone 3. So you can use them up in Wisconsin, Minneapolis, in the Dakotas, wherever you want them. And then you can move
as a use them in this zone.
Yeah, they're cool. And then you can use them all the way down to like Houston, San Diego. You know, they cover the United States. This variety is called Onyx. Now, Onyx is this great red color. And I went out and I found a plant in the field. You see these little babies here, right? So the plant gets to be about 12 inches high and about 18 inches across. This is the crown. This is the mother plant. And then the mother plant will produce these babies. So the plant spreads out.
Sure, that's cool.
They're very, so for a rock garden, for a container, a forward border planting in a perennial garden, a rockery, this is an outstanding plant. They're not armed. Okay. So you can bang your hand on them. There are no thorns, no spines. So if you put them in a container, then, you know, children, your loved ones, your relatives are not going to hurt themselves. Now you'll see this is in a sunset container. So the program is through Sunset, and it's also through Southern Living. Sunset and Southern Living have a hand in hand process, and you'll see this in some places of business in a brown container, and you'll also see it in a green chartreuse container. Cool. So this is Onyx. Okay. Tighten your seat belts just a little tighter.
I'm in.
Tightening it up, Nicholas.
I'm tightening it up. Right.
This is called Emerald.
Okay.
Emerald is another plant in the program. She's a little bit bigger. She'll and about the same width. So like 15, 18 inches wide. and like 12, 14 inches tall. This extraordinary emerald green colored foliage with this deep burgundy colored tips. And in a full sun position, this will get darker and darker and darker. So for those of you in the cold country, it's the group is called Super Semps. The first one was Onyx, and this is called Emerald. So she hadn't started to produce her babies yet, right? But when she do, you know, the babies will be the same size as the mother plant. That's extraordinary.
And are those, can you split off and then start a new patch, if you will, or break them off and plant them somewhere else? Or do they need to stay connected together?
Well, you know, you're not meant to do that because they're patented, but the answer to your question is yes. Yeah. Kind of fun. I mean, if you're really into the plants, you know, you'll muddle about propagating stuff and things like that. So, sure. All right. So then, you'll get me locked up.
And those are great. Those are just in it, like a, you know, for an annual display.
You just a little bit of razz there and then they die.
Yeah. So I had mine on the Super Scent program. I had them in my garden in containers on a west-south wall, very hot, cooler during the winter months, but very hot in the summertime. And I had them, I trialed them for just under 4 years. Okay. And they were absolutely exemplary. There's no other way to describe them. Now, those seat belts, just one more notch, right? I know there's always another notch.
High point harness. Here we go.
Can you see that?
Buddleia.
This is a buddleia. This is a buddleia from a new program called Buzz. I hope you can see it okay.
Yeah.
So the variety is called Soft Pink. And the plant that you're looking at is probably about 24 inches high. Now, the fragrance is extraordinary. It is absolutely like a sweet lilac. There's no other way to describe it.
Beautiful.
So can you see it okay?
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Only scratch and sniff the screen,
yeah.
Nicholas.
There you go. Hey, let's do that. Block me out. So the Buzz series is a real breakthrough. They're shorter, they're more compact varieties. Okay. They probably get about 4 feet high and about maybe 4 to 5 feet across. You know, the original ones, Dark Night, Pink Delight, all those flavors would get like 10, 15 feet high. I mean, they were beautiful. That was great. But as the breeders have gone forward, the Buzz series, they're shorter, they're more compact. They're great for the smaller garden. The other thing is they can be used in so many different types of garden. You could put one of these. So here's the deal. You have a vegetable garden. Right, you're creating a vegetable garden for your client or your customer. Put one of these plants in there, right? Put two or three of them in there. And The reason why is because they're great for the pollinators.
Yeah.
So these types of plants, they're great for the honeybees, the bumblebees, whatever they might be. They're terrific for butterflies, alias the common name, butterfly bush. And the reason is because the flowers, there's lots of room for all the different types of butterflies to land on there. Now, what we don't talk about too much is who would land on this at night. And there is a terrific amount of interest now in moths. So many of the moths that absolutely occur will hone in on plants like this, and they will come back night after night after night. You know, and moths are pollinators as well. Too often do we think that they just put holes in your clothes, right?
But,
right, they do. But for the garden, they are essential nighttime pollinators. So you could have these up on your patio, right? And at nighttime, you're out there with friends and family, a glass of lemonade, a libation, whatever it might be. In the soft light, you'll have moths coming to this plant, plants in the Buzz series, to a light. You get really close. So,
What's the bloom time, Nicholas, on those? Is that an all summer? Any changes to that? So reblooming pretty much starting, depending on where you're at, you know, May all the way up to August, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. So as soon as it starts to warm up, then what's going to happen is the plants will start to push their new growth. Okay. And it'll take, so the stems will come out, leaves, etc. And then probably within about 10 to 14 days, you'll get buds and blooms on the end of the terminal. So for those of you that look after your customers' gardens, you do the maintenance job, right? When they start pushing, that's when you fertilize first of all. Use probably a quicker release fertilizer and use a fertilizer that would be something like a 10-10-10. You don't have to muddle about too much with the numbers. Lots of nitrogen, lots of phosphate, lots of potash for roots and for the blooms as well. Important.
Do you cut that going back into the fall too, Nicholas, or do you let it be, or do you let it persist?
A terrific question. So Joe, I'm an enormous believer. I'm going to show you a book today written by someone who's leading a trend in America pertaining to the new perennial garden. And a big section of that is about pruning. So this is my belief. I am a firm believer that leave plants entire, leave them completely whole, don't prune them back. And a lot of people want that manicured look. You know, they feel they have to cut everything back to like about yay high right before it goes into autumn. There is always nourishment. There's always food in those stems. And the roots need as much food as they can to keep them through the winter.
Sure.
A plant like this, I would leave it completely entire all the way through the winter, probably until like April, something like that. And as soon as the ground starts to warm up, then that's when I would go in and cut this plant back to about 2 feet high. Yeah. The other important thing is that on the flower heads, when they go dormant, there is always some type of seed in there. So when the finches or the seed-eating birds, you know, when they're leaving the area, when they're coming south, you know, they can stop in, they can have lunch. And also when they come back in the spring, if they're early, then they've got somewhere they can get lunch there as well. Whether it's a residential landscape or whether it's a commercial landscape, we've got to brighten up these commercial landscapes, viewers. And for those of you that have some sway on what's being planted, that's where these highly foliferous plants are very important. People want the pollinators, they want the butterflies. Emotionally, sure, they want to do something good, and that's a great plant to do it with. So that was Buddleia, or butterfly bush, from the Buzz series, and the name was Soft Pink.
Cool. Perfect.
Isn't that a great looking plant?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had some common lilacs die over the winter, so I'm in the hunt for some replacements, and I might give it a shot. We'll see.
You must have got pretty cold out there if your lilacs died.
Yeah, I am in the tundra out here in the middle of nowhere. So.
All right. So so we've done the Buddleia, we've done the Supersense, we've done the Hydrangea. I'm now going to show you something that we have never ever shown publicly before. So this is the first.
Drum roll.
Yeah, big drum roll. Oh, wait. Viewers, forgive me. There's one plant I'm missing. I'm going to be right back. You talk amongst yourselves. Give me 3 seconds.
Of course. All right. No problem. I like what he was talking about with stewardship and the commercial. I think our friend Denise Vidash, we have something coming up with her about her venture Retree and how all that. We ended up doing a fantastic job with her. So folks, stay tuned to that one. That should be coming out here shortly as well.
You find it, Nick?
Oh, he's got to put his buds back in. There we
go. Okay. Sorry about that. So this is, as I say, this is the first time we've done this. So it's all a bit of a learning experience.
All right. It's all good.
So flower carpet roses. I've got 4 flower carpet roses I'm going to show you. The program has been around since 1995. It's brought to market by a pretty cool Australian guy called Anthony Tesla. Lots of different types of plants in the program, lots of different brands as well. Canna Tropicana is a very well-known one, the length and breadth of America.
Yep.
So the flower carpet rose series is extraordinary. Hardy from USDA Zone 5, right, all the way through 9 or 10. They're very versatile. There are pinks, whites, yellows. There's a bicolor, which is a kind of a scarlet and a peach color. There are 2 or 3 different types of red. There's a scarlet, there's a red, They're all different. So the brand new flower carpet that's coming to market this year is called Mini Cherry.
Yeah.
Now, Mini Cherry is really unique. So this is a very fresh crop, right? These plants were pruned in the autumn. So what you're seeing is the first flush. It's a floribunda. So you'll get four or five buds and flowers per stem. Great foliage. It's like emerald green. There's no other way to describe it. So very, very handsome. What's really fun about this is a more compact flower carpet. So I've had this particular plant in my own garden now. This is my third year, and I've never pruned the plants. So they're about 18 to 20 inches tall, and they're probably about 2 feet wide. I have them in a very hot spot in a westerly facing wall, southern facing wall. They get a drink about twice a week in a container. Soon as they start to push their new growth, bang, I'm on them, right on them with the fertilizer, because I want them to push and I want to see lots of flowers.
Sure.
I might prune them, right? They're an own root rose, highly disease resistant, and own root roses, if you prune them, you just go in and whack them. You don't worry about where you prune them, how you prune them. You literally just go in there with a pair of hedging shears. Great for a landscape. You'd put them probably on about 3 foot centers, something like that, and just let the plants fill in. So that's flower carpet, Mini Cherry. Isn't she pretty?
Beautiful.
All right, so these
too.
Yeah. That's, you should put that at your house. Give that a shot. Looks sure. Nice out there.
So here we are. Here are the plants that we've never shown before. The first one, you're going to have to use your imagination. These are brand new flower carpet roses. And to date, flower carpet have never produced more of a hybrid tea. The holy grail of flower carpet roses, or correction, the holy grail of hybrid tea roses is finding disease resistance,
sure,
and fragrance in the same plant. I mean, you guys are plant people. That's hard to find.
Yep.
So these new group, the hybrid teas, they are own root. They're not grafted. So they're highly disease resistant. All the breeding was done in Germany by a guy called Walter Nowak. This particular variety is called Champagne. Champagne is probably going to be, 3 to 4 feet high, and probably the same across, but a very, very pretty rose, a champagne color, that sort of off-white, yellowish champagne color, but with great fragrance and high disease resistance. So that's flower carpet Champagne.
Oh.
Are you ready? I pulled this from the field this morning. This is Lipstick.
Yeah.
For the folks that can't see the video, he's smelling the flower.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just breathtaking.
Yeah.
So I see the flower is just a little bit bleached on the screen, but it is a real hot pink moving into a red color. So as the flower matures, so it's going to pink up a little bit. So right here, you have a bud. That bud is absolutely blood red. There's no other way to describe it. Good, strong foliage. Nice, good stems. The stems are a reddish burgundy color as well. I think that the camera can pick that up on the video. This is going to be a nice, even, rounded plant. Bring it back into the screen. So yeah, there's disease resistance, fragrance. Again, it's probably going to be 3 to 4 high and wide.
Which one was this again, Nicholas?
Lipstick.
This is so the first one was flower carpet Champagne, and the second one is flower carpet Lipstick.
Okay.
I love it. I've got a second plant here. So this plant, this was pruned at the end of the autumn and is now pushing. So already you've got a fully open flower, and then you've got two buds on the plant. So you imagine this plant, once it really gets going in the garden, settles in, it's happy, it's going to give you a wonderful display. And then the last the last flower carpet, the one I'm going to show you, is in more of the traditional manner, but it's completely different from any of the others. This is called Flower Carpet Peach. The bud is more of a peach orange color. Let's see if we can pick that up on the camera.
Pretty slick.
So it's really pretty. Okay. Yep. And then the flower opens. You can see this one here is opening to this really nice kind of yellow peach color. And then as it matures, it goes to pink, right? Lipstick pink, seashell pink to a lipstick pink. And
smells the flower.
She's fragrant. The only other ground cover flower carpet that has ever been fragrant is one called, I think it's called apricot. Oh, forgive my aging memory, right? I'll find that out.
We'll again, check you. No worries.
Yeah, we'll throw a disclaimer on there.
Okay, thank you. Sure. But what's fun about this is, again, these plants were pruned right back in the autumn, okay? And they have not been touched this year. But look at the evenness of the growth, the health of the plant, etc. Again, if they, you know, they're not going to get big, this plant's probably going to be about 2.5 by 2.5. If you need to go in and cut it back during the middle of summer, do that during the growing season. You'll have buds and blooms within about 20, 25 days.
That's great.
So those are apart from the terrific display of the plants behind me, those are a few of the plants that I wanted to chat with you about. Do you want to talk about trends a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that good?
Go ahead. What do you see so far, Nicholas, for the, yeah. I mean, I think something to disclaim here too, is that spring has kind of started differently across the country. Oh. Folks, you know, heated up quickly. You know, dig windows were shortened, you know, things just got off to a fast start. Other folks are behind due to, you know, moisture and the weather not cooperating. I know Oregon also went through some snow, last minute snows and torrential downpours. So everyone's kind of dealing with their own challenges. But, you know, but with that disclaimer being said, up to this point, what are you seeing and hearing?
So we're hearing all up and down the West Coast that the West Coast nurseries are very behind. And when I say very behind, like 20, 25, in some cases 30 days.
Wow.
So we have in the last 15 days, we've started to warm up. So the crops are really putting on a big flush. So the coastal influences that I spoke about, you know, probably in the next couple of hours, it'll be about 75, 80 degrees where I am. So you can almost hear the plants growing. I mean, they really kick into afterburner. Sure. The further north you go up the coast, let's say Santa Barbara, San Francisco, and then you cross into Oregon, up into Washington, you know, they've had some record temperatures already. I was talking to a group that I work with on plants, you know, Portland, Seattle, they were like 80, 85 degrees over the weekend. And, you know, temperatures like that are unheard of. So where the chilly weather has been unprecedented, right? It has always also been a blessing. We were desperately short of water. You know, we're on this 10-year drought. So we've had more rain than we've had in, I don't know, a couple of decades. We've got snowpack up in the high Sierras and also in the Rocky Mountain regions. I'm hearing figures of anywhere 20, 30, 35 feet deep in snowpack. So that's going to be great for the runoff. All the reservoirs are full. Sure. So the what happens in the summer is going to be very interesting. And when I say interesting, because, you know, the ground is pretty saturated. Yeah. So will all that water be able to run off into the ocean to be able to take the snow melt as it comes off the high Sierras and places like that? Going up into, you know, moving more into the center part of the country, The weather has been very unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, when we were chatting a day or so or late last week, well, you were saying your spring is starting to warm up nicely. So hopefully that's a trend that's going to stay and we can really get into spring and summer. But for those of us, I'm sorry, Andrew.
No, you're fine. We had a super hot week, and it kind of sped things up. It made it really, you know, we got up into like the mid 70s, 80s, right in there, for about a week's time frame, and then it kind of, I say somebody like pulled the reins back. Is kind of what it felt like. Yeah, and it kind of leveled out and it chilled out. And actually, it almost kind of held a lot of the blooming trees, different ornamentals and things that were coming out. But I definitely know that it messed with the dig window for a lot of growers and things that we work with on a regular basis as well. So
yeah, I remember flowers for like 3-4 weeks. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me something. Were all the B&B growers, were they able to dig their trees okay this last autumn and the spring? Did they get their trees out of the ground for potential sales and containerized?
I think for the most part, I know some folks in the Southeast, I know they probably lost 2 weeks, but I know they also, a lot of them have, I shouldn't say up their game, but I think they've taken a look at their businesses, made some great strategic moves, going to H2A labor to help make sure that they had enough to get, you know, get things done. Of course, everyone in this industry knows, you know, you work on Sundays to make sure, you know, while the weather's good. So I think they lost some time, but from what I've heard from folks that, I mean, they were able to get a good majority out, maybe 10% left in the field, which I know talking into the summer months, folks are a little concerned with what's going to happen, but needless to say, a lot of folks, they were able to get their stuff out in time.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That's good news. So should we talk about a few trends, things like that?
Sure.
All right. So before we do that, I'm a bit of a bookworm. It's for those of you that are happily married, don't start a library. It's the biggest bone of contention that sweet potato and I have, right? So I travel somewhere and always come home with a book. And the other mistake is that we share an office. I sometimes work from home and she always thinks that her half of the office should be bigger than mine. And if we have ladies on the call, and I'm sure we do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm going to talk about three magazines, and this really leads into getting outside the box. And the hardest part for all of you is to continue to learn. You've got to continue to learn. You know, sounds trite, you know, knowledge is power. It'll put you in front of your competitors. So here are a couple of gems for you. My first magazine is called Fine Gardening. Fine Gardening has issues every other month. It's it is extremely pictorial, right? It does these fabulous, It does these fabulous plantograms. Yeah. So it isn't just a picture of the plant. Down here is how the plants are put together. Down here is the name of each individual plant. And you know what's really cool? So all of these plants have the same needs. They have the same watering needs. They have the same fertilization needs. And many of them will have the same pruning needs as well.
That's great for a lot of folks where you're asking questions of like, what can be planted together in a planting. I think, you know, it's good to have a lot of people have individual knowledges of plants themselves, but how do they interact together based on, you know, watering, sunlight, all those kind of needs. I think that's really important. That's cool. Nice tip.
Yes, exactly. And so here's the other gem. You can say to your customer, this is what your garden will look like.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You can actually give them, Corinne, my wife, she has this, she's able to see things completed. I struggle with that. So for those of you that are also looking for design ideas, there are lots of really cool design ideas. This is a wooden walkway, right? In a slightly moist area, surrounded by ferns, trees, etc. So again, you can help get that ambience. Doesn't matter whether it's a commercial job or a residential job. You know, the needs and the emotions are still the same. The other one is do join the American Horticultural Society. there are lots of benefits, but the main benefit is every other month they produce a magazine called The American Gardener. You can't buy it off the newsstands. You have to be a member in order to get it. And right. they take a deeper dive into what's going on in gardening and the plants, which are the foundations. This most recent article was on pollinators for the Midwest and the East Coast region. You know, the great thing is that all the plants that they talk about, they have one new plant issue a year. But otherwise, they're talking about tried and proven plants, which are readily available from the Landscape Hub website. You know, you can have people with perennials, shrub growers, whether it's us or other types of people as well. The other really cool thing is, I'll broach this now, and we'll finish it when we really get into trends. So this is a pal of mine, right? Christine. Christine is a noted author, but she also writes for a lot of magazines. So here she's doing a full-blown article on containers. So here's an opportunity for you to step outside the box. So it might well be that some of you on the call, you're bidding jobs, trees, shrubs, grass, all those types of things. Whether it's a residential job or a commercial job, they all have patios, right? And yeah. All these people who work indoors, they want to go and sit outside, have a glass of lemonade, go outside in the summertime. That's where they have the sandwich and a bag of chips. You can get ideas from these types of authors. She's got two or three books, right, on the market. You can buy these books and you can look at them and you can put your own combinations of planters together. So what it does is it's another extension of your business. It's another value proposition for you and your customer or your potential customer. And also, if you have a maintenance company and you're looking after your jobs, you've got ideas how to freshen these pots up during the season if they look a little bit tired.
It's good.
That's always good for good new ideas. I think when I was in the contractor seat, it was always trying to pump out as many. we used a lot of the same things over and over again because we knew they worked. You know, yeah. I think maybe some of that legwork has already been done from folks like that to where it can give you some good ideas of combinations of things that would be different than what you're normally used to.
Yeah, no, it's terrific. I tell you, I'm gonna break away quickly, and this is not. This is not an infomercial to those of you who are listening. Now, some of you might already be members or customers of Landscape Hub. Some of you might have been thinking about it. Some of you might have just joined up. I am a tech philistine. Okay. I am drug kicking and screaming into using technology. Landscape Hub is something completely different. And I actually went online and I signed up, I don't know, like a month ago. 5 weeks ago, within about 45 minutes, I had an email from Will, not because Will knew me, but because Will was recognizing me as a new customer and welcoming me to the site. Because the team, they watch that. They really watch who is signing up. It's a terrific community. So you can come on this site. You can learn about all these various perennial tree growers, shrub growers. How many members or how many vendors do you have now?
Well, what's the final count? It's over 300.
Yeah, it's around 318.
318. Yeah. All across America?
Yep. All across the country, yep. So we've got a pretty incredible backlog at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so, a lot of good folks to get on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, whatever you want, you're going to find something there or you'll find a substitution there for you. So I'd really encourage you, use it. It's a terrific community. So if I can sign up and if I can use it, I can promise you, you are going to be way in front of me and you'll have a great time. The other great thing is it's 24 hours a day, right?
It is. Yep.
7 days a week. It never sleeps. So you're busy working. You know, some of you can't get to it till when you get home or you start real early. That site is there. And it's working for you. Now, you're going to have to forgive me. Joe and Will, we talk pretty regularly, whether it's Zoom, telephone. The customers can reach you. They can call you. Is that correct?
Of course. You know, it's We give people a combination of just, it's not just Landscape Hub. There's still, as Joe likes to say, there's hamsters in the wheel. We're the hamsters with the Landscape Hub shirt on, but I think that it's kind of needed in our industry. We're very much a relationship-based industry. You know, we always say that Landscape Hub is here to enhance the experience. So helping you search, find, quote, place orders, all that kind of thing. We help with shipping the trucks, all of it. You know, thing is, we, like you said, we really have created a community.
That's great.
Whether it's online or off, you know, trying to kind of marry the two together, create connectivity within the supply chain, showing people what's really out there and what's available. And then doing bits like this, you know, to help educate customers just, you know, about plants and giving them some visuals. So thank you, Nicholas, obviously to you. And, Verde has been a shining partner of ours. We appreciate our relationship and we respect greatly just, you know, you guys do a lot for our industry. You guys have led the way. You're an incredible grower too. So, like I said, we're proud to be partnered with folks like you. So that same material that you're showing in the screens, it can be found online and available through Landscape Hub too.
24/7.
Yeah. I'm from other people as well. So it's good. All right. So one more magazine, one book, and then trends. Are we okay? Keep going? Good for time?
Yeah, sure. We're trying to keep these short and sweet, but yeah, I mean, I think we could cover a couple more things and we'll finish it up. It's all good.
All right. The Holy Grail. Join the Royal Horticultural Society. You get this magazine called The Garden, called The Garden once a month, and it will put you in front of every single other person who does not subscribe. It is a cornucopia about gardening, whether it's commercial, residential, vegetable garden, whatever it might be. I think it's like about $100 a year. It's the best $100 you'll ever spend. And then for those of you in the Midwest, right? And this is rapidly heading our way. This is, you're going to buy a book this weekend online. Pete Oldorf and Noel Kingsbury. This is called Planting. They are setting a rage in perennial plantings all across America. The Big Gardens, the Lowry Garden, the Highline Garden in New York. These guys did those gardens. The book is full of diagrams and pictures. Tells you how to use the perennials, tells you how to plant them, tells you how they work in the landscape. And we spoke about pruning. These men are the disciples of leaving your meadow, your prairie garden, your perennial garden completely entire until just before the ground starts to warm up. Yep. And that's where you go back in and you harvest, right? Or you cut them back. And that's where you also remulch. You'll put about 3 inches of mulch on the ground. And the reason you do that is any seeds that have fallen onto the ground are then covered with the mulch and they will regenerate. This is a big trend in everything we're doing in gardening. Okay, really quickly, we can come back and do a deep dive at a later date. Trends in America, pollinator gardens have not gone away. Really bone up on your pollinators. What are the pollinators that are crucial to your region, your area, and what are the plants that you need to plant to sustain them? That seed belt, one more notch. You really want to get ahead of others out there. The cutting garden. The cutting garden is making a massive comeback in the United States of America. And this is where you plant annuals and perennials in swaths, in long borders, in containers, wherever they might be. And people can harvest the flowers. They can bring them indoors, put them in a posy, put them on their office table, put them on their office desk, whatever it might be, have them on the kitchen table, the dining room, and the bathroom. There is so much going on with that. Lots of new perennials coming online for dappled shade. Those of you working in gardens or landscapes that have an overhead canopy, right? Look at the perennials for the shade, the dappled shade area. There's lots of new heucheras, tiarellas, all sorts of plants coming online. On the colors, I'm told that burgundy, the dark colors, are very much in vogue. For full sun plants, some of the early bloomers, look towards dianthus. There are some fabulous dianthus coming online. They're great for the early season blooms, whites, yellows, pinks, bright reds. And again, they can be used in containers. They can be used in the perennial garden, the rockery, whatever it might be. And the flowers can be harvested and bought indoors. Tropicals behind me, right? Do not let your summer garden take a vacation. Do not let your patio take a vacation. You need to be work closely with your customers. You need to be planning out the summer color forum, right? When the family come home or the kids are at home, people are entertaining. You need to be talking about that now. How can you help them select the containers? How can you help them select the plants? And then change that out maybe once or twice during the season. And don't forget, while you're on the patio, in the garden, talking to them about containers, sow that seed about fall. We're going to talk about fall and a few more Nick's picks in summer at a later date, but fall is right around the corner. Help your customers plan their gardens. So there's a few great trends for you.
Nate, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of this is down to planning and setting the seeds now. I mean, I think pun was intended there. But to make sure that, I mean, what you want to do later, you can achieve that now and set that up for success versus trying to scramble last minute.
Absolutely.
Nick, it looks extremely beautiful where you're at. We've enjoyed talking with you today. We're gonna let you get back on your days. As folks, is this time of the year, everyone's gotta get back on and make that phone call or go out and hop back on the tractor or do what they do best in this industry. So we want to thank you for taking the time today, talking with us. Thanks for the Nick's picks. You can find all of those. We'll put that link in the bio for checking those out. And then we look forward to doing our summer version of Nick's Picks with you and maybe a couple more goodies. So
terrific. Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Absolutely, Nicholas. Take care. Have a fantastic day. And again, we'll look forward to doing this again.
Thanks for listening.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.